the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver, right? And so your question is really good, because a lot of people say, oh, yeah, it's easy for you to give 10%. Truly, it's not. Listen, I've had some big wins. When I read this book and I had an epiphany, my wife and I read this book together and we had a true revelation and said, oh my gosh, we've been not faithful in our giving. And so I look at this. So all of a sudden you get a big win in one day. Let's say you get $100,000 in. Sending a $10,000 tithe, it's not easy.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not. You know, what happens is the enemy starts to play with you. What could you do with that? So you get $100 in today, 10 bucks. Yeah, cool. I'll send in $10. So it truly tests your faith and it truly gives that, which is really good. I've learned to deal with that in a lot of different ways. And I think that when you start out, it gets to be a habit, just like anything else. And I always tell people, how do I do that? Just do it, man. Whatever it is. For me, everything's done electronically nowadays with money and wires, and we get wires in every day. So what I like to do is I just send the money in every day to the church. I do. So by the time I get to church on Sunday, man, I am clean and green.
Welcome to Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You, the podcast that focuses on Christians that are active in everyday life. Join in as we speak to everyone from successful business owners to educators to athletes about their faith and how it helps them reach out and revolutionize those around them to do the same. And now get ready to roar with your host, the voice of manifestation, John Fuller.
Hey, Roar Nation, John Fuller here, and I am so ready to rock today's interview with today's special guest, Michael McIntyre. This is going to be awesome. Michael, are you fired up and ready to roar?
Woo! Baby, I am ready to roar, man. I am so excited, man. Hey, I had goosebumps waiting about today, man. Yes, I'm ready. I'm fired up, and let's roar, baby.
Dude, I love your attitude. All right, so guys, you got to hear about Michael. Michael started his entrepreneur insurance career in 1983. After an honorable discharge from the U.S. Air Force, he served 4 years in the SAC, which is the Strategic Air Command, which you're going to have to tell me more about that. He has more than 27 years of insurance experience. He has generated more than $3 billion in premiums. I did not say million. I said billion with a B. He has recruited and trained over 20,000 sales agents in 40 states, which is phenomenal. That's bigger than the town I live in. He grew a startup insurance firm from $25 million to $15 billion in assets in less than 10 years. He went on to have a successful IPO on the New York Stock Exchange in 2004. And he is now the CEO of the 247medplan.com, which is awesome. He founded it in 2006, which he provides telehealth and dental plans for individuals and small businesses. Michael, I hit a little bit on your bio. I want to say, which I thought was really cool. Michael has been married for over 30 years. He has three beautiful daughters. And this is what I loved on your bio. You said you have an amazing son in love. And I'm assuming that was on purpose.
Yeah, that's right. My oldest daughter, Brittany, got married just 2 years and a month ago to Blake Kanica, and he is my son in love. That's exactly right.
I love that. Okay.
Yeah.
So we hit a little bit on, just barely, on who you are, what you've done. Man, let's dive into more of your career, your successes, your interest, and your passion for Jesus, brother.
Great. Let's do it.
Okay. So tell us more about you.
Well, wow. That's a nice opening question, John. Yes. Well, I'm basically a Christ follower pretending to be an entrepreneur, if that makes any sense. I came to Christ late. I think I shared with you before. It was in 2008, 2007, 2008. It was kind of a 3-month process for me to come in. I'm kind of one of these guys that really has to analyze things and look at everything in a 360. But I did surrender my life and gave my life to Jesus Christ in 2008. So I was a latecomer. I was about 47 years old when that happened, 48 years old. And so I'm not a baby Christian, so to speak. I've come into this looking at it from a secular point of view and came into his royal priesthood and looking at it with a fresh set of eyes, so to speak. And so it's been really a great journey for me. I love Jesus. I really find it amazing, the Christian community, the true Christian community. I find it really authentic, transparent, and loving in a way I never knew possible. And so I love that. I like creating businesses. I really enjoy creating things out of nothing. I think God was such an amazing creator. He made us in his image. And I think we all have so much creativity in us. And I think we get limited by that. And I like unleash people's creativity. So that's what I'm an entrepreneur. I love to help people make money. I like making money. I like to produce money and build it up for the kingdom. And I also like what it does. I like what money can do for folks and for his kingdom. And I enjoy the finer things in life. And I never have learned to apologize for that for some reason.
Man, I love, man, I think that's great. And you and I have had this conversation. I love what you're saying. So let's talk about that. So many people have a bad mindset, and I've even heard it taught in the church that money is the root of all evil, which is a misquote on scripture. Yeah. So let's dive into that a little bit. What do you see when you talk about being a royal priesthood and you talk about your finances?
Yeah.
I mean, what does that look like for you as somebody who's been successful, has made a lot of money? What does that look like for you in the kingdom?
Yeah, it's a great question, John. Thank you. I think what a lot of people misguide is the idol and worship of money is what the main problem is. I think the Bible is discussing, and that does get to be a problem. And listen, I've been there. I had mammon chase me around for many, many years until I came to Christ and learned to drink from his well. And then I was never thirsty again. Thank you, Jesus. So I think what happens a lot of times, people look at people that have money and they feel lorded over. And some people do that. Some people do lord over with their power, their money, or their position. What I do with folks is I say, listen, sure, there's times when we can give people fish. Absolutely. They need a fish. They need to eat today. And I get that. But it's more important to teach them how to fish. And God's blessed me with the resources for whatever reason. Even before I knew Christ, I've always been in a situation, John, to where a favor, so to speak. I've always been with the right people at the right time. I've always had opportunity. I've squandered opportunity as well, but that's a whole other segment. But I've always been able to take those things and work them and to where I could make money from that. And when I came to Christ, I realized that these things are a blessing from him. Just like there's teachers out there that are brilliant teachers. I'm not a teacher. I'm not a person that goes into a Bible study and says, okay, I'm going to teach you. We're going to go through Isaiah. We're going to go through Samuel 2, and I'm going to give you the highlights. That's not my thing. My thing is to create wealth. That's what God blessed me to do. And to steward that wealth and to steward that gift in a way that honors him and glorifies him in his presence and to make him present and people get to feel his presence in a tangible way. So that's what I look at is building wealth for folks.
Oh, man, I love your answer. So I want to ask you this. What does it look like in the kingdom financially? I guess what I'm trying to ask is, what is the purpose for us to make money? I mean, so many people think money is just, I should say the poverty mindset. And I know you've seen it. So what truly look like to have an abundance mindset?
Yeah, so we worship an abundant God. There is no lack in God, right? I mean, he breathed in all the stars. And Isaiah, he talks about he breathed in all the stars and universe. It's a big God. It's a big universe. And so does that mean everybody should walk around with having $500,000 in their checking account and everything? No, but it's also about making sure that you have steward your finances and to go out there and help other people to move forward. Look, a lot of people feel that they have to wait, sit around and they think, well, we have a wealthy father. We do have a wealthy father, extremely wealthy, but you've got to get out there and move. He wants you to move. Our father created the physical universe and there's laws of physics, which mean to every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So that means you've got to get out and move. God cannot work miracles in you while you're sitting around making decisions. Committed heart does not wait for conditions to be exactly right because quite honestly, John, there's never going to be a perfect, exactly right time. Indecision, it always limits God's and his ability to perform miracles in your life. So I tell people, listen, God's put a vision in your life, okay? He's put a vision in you, whether it's to make money, whether it's to teach, whether it's to minister, whether it's to go on missions, whether it's to be evangelist, whether it's to be a great parent, a great whatever. So get after it. You can't sit around and wait for the gold brick to fall into your checking account. That's not going to happen. You get out there and move. You go do the possible and let God do the impossible. And that way you can move. And whatever it is, if your deal is to make $5 million a year or make $100 million or make $50,000 a year, whatever your calling is, whatever that's supposed to be that God wants you to do, steward it well and always give first fruits. And I think that's one of the big important things. And we've talked about that before as well.
I'm getting way off track here, but I got you on the phone. I want to ask you. So let's talk about stewardship.
Yeah.
Okay. What does stewardship look like to you?
So read a book, A Blessed Life by Robert Morris. I think we talked about that. And I think one of the things that showed me is first fruit. And I'll be honest, I was a truly ignorant Christian. I didn't know about first fruits until I read this book. And so, and it really, steward money is, I think it begins with tithing. It really does. And I think tithing is something that is really, people say, well, that's Old Testament, but it's a principle of God. It's his principles, and his principles never wear out, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament. And I think stewardship, it begins with tithing, and that's 10% of the first fruits off your labor or off your wins, whatever it is, because he gave us his first fruits. So yeah. I think that's exactly where we should be looking at. And then from there, then you make sure that you have offerings in helping out other fellow Christians. There's so many times that our Christian community, it amazes me, John, that there's so many different tribes out there. If you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior and he's the Son of God and he died for your sins, then you're in. Right? Whether you have the gifts, whether you don't have the gifts, where you have this or that, there's so many times we get hung up with that. And I'm, as coming from the secular world, I look at this and think, man, these Christians, they almost go out here and eat their own. Why don't we all get on the same team and teach about stewardship and teach about finances and teach about and different mission trips and work together? And I think there are some communities doing that. But I think stewardship starts with tithing, and then it starts with helping out other fellow Christians, regardless of what denomination that you're in, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I love your answer. Okay, so I got another question for you off the topic, since we're just rolling off the topic. Okay, so you talk about giving first fruits, you talk about tithing. So the first thing that comes to my mind, somebody's listening to this says, Michael, that's easy to say if you have a lot of money. My question is, since you've done that, though, what doors have opened or what have you seen in your life since you started giving, not because you had to, but because you want to? What have you seen in your life open up doing that?
Yeah, that's great. It's a good question. You know, the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver, right? And so your question is really good, because a lot of people say, oh, yeah, it's easy for you to give 10%. Truly, it's not. Listen, I've had some big wins. When I read this book and I had an epiphany, my wife and I read this book together and we had a true revelation and said, oh my gosh, we've been not faithful in our giving. And so I look at this, so all of a sudden you get a big win in one day. Let's say you get $100,000 in. Sending a $10,000 tithe, it's not easy.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not. You know, what happens is the enemy starts to play with you. What could you do with that? So you get $100 in today, 10 bucks. Yeah, cool. I'll send in $10. So it truly tests your faith and it truly gives that, which is really good. I've learned to deal with that in a lot of different ways. And I think that when you start out, it gets to be a habit, just like anything else. And I always tell people, how do I do that? Just do it, man. Whatever it is. For me, everything's done electronically nowadays with money and wires, and we get wires in every day. So what I like to do is I just send the money in every day to the church. I do. So by the time I get to church on Sunday, man, I am clean and green. I am good. I don't have to think about nothing. I don't care if I don't like the choir today or if I don't like the band or if I don't like, doesn't matter. I love Jesus and I want to praise him and glorify him and worship him with my money. And so it just makes it easier.
Man, I love your answer. Okay, so let's jump into an inspirational quote or scripture. Obviously, you say you got saved late in the game. I think, obviously, it doesn't matter. The Lord knew exactly what he was doing. So these last several years, what has been maybe a scripture or a quote that has just kind of led you?
Yeah, so there's so many. One of the things that really helped me when I came to Christ, and it's to look at how are things, God is good, and but how wise are murder, rape, and all these terrible things, and executions and stuff, and temptation. And so I came across a scripture, Isaiah 55:8-9. My ways are not your ways, for as my thoughts are far above, as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways. And that really helped me a lot. That gave me a lot of solace, knowing that I don't know the philosophy of God. I know there's a lot of people that try to tie that into theology and think they know God's philosophy by reading, and maybe they do get a glimpse of that, but I don't know how it is. I don't. And so I have to be comforted by Isaiah 55:8-9. His ways are not my ways. Because I'm thinking God's thinking like me, which he doesn't, obviously. I mean, thank God. Yes. And so we're all blessed for that reason. The other one, too, one of my favorites is John 10:10. The enemy came to kill, steal, and destroy. And Jesus came to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. And I think that really helps me also walk it out with him on a daily basis.
Okay. I love both of those. I love John 10:10, and I love what you're talking about. Our ways are not his ways. We can't understand them. I'm with you, man. People try to say they understand philosophy, and all that stuff, man, that's so far past me. Every time I think I'm starting to figure out what God's doing, man, he says, all right. And then he opens another door and I'm like, okay, I'm totally confused here.
Amen.
So let's talk about your life journey a little bit. You've been doing, you got into insurance. You've done it for several years. How did you get into that and why have you stayed in it?
Wow, it's a great question. I joined the Air Force in 1978. My parents were divorced, family of five. My father was not a big fan of paying child support, so I had no opportunity to go to college.
Oh, wait, time out. I love what you just said. So let's stay on track here. But you just, so basically you're saying you started fairly maybe poor or hard knocks?
Yeah, it was pretty much hard knocks. Yeah, okay. I didn't have shoelaces for a long time.
Okay. Yeah, so people that are hearing your story say, hey, man, he has a lot of money. That's not always been the case.
That's right.
You worked your butt off to where you've gotten.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. And so I joined the Air Force so I could get a college education. I did have enough sense that I needed to have some college. So I joined the Air Force. And I got stationed in Arkansas for 4 years, and I worked in the Intercontinental Ballistic Missile System, Strategic Air Command. I went to college full-time. I worked really hard, and I graduated. And getting in the insurance business, my dad was a State Farm agent just starting out, and I thought that would be really cool to do. So I moved to Dallas, and I got into the insurance business, but not State Farm, because it was just I had to have $50,000 up front, open up a shop, and I didn't have that. So I got recruited in the insurance business from working at a really high-end men's clothing store, which is another long story. But it was just a natural fit for me, John. I was just really blessed with to be able to sell, and I had a good work ethic. And so I got in the insurance business, and the first 5 years I was a great salesperson. Then I started my own company, and that flourished, and we created some amazing things and made a lot of money and made a lot of people wealthy, and which was really kind of cool. And I sold the company back in 2008. And I finally got my last payment in 2011. In the meantime, I started this 24/7 med plan, and it's kind of been fun watching this grow. So that's kind of a short version of where everything's been.
Okay. So I want to dig deep into a side for our listeners. I love stories and always love hearing, fortunately, I love hearing the down part of people's stories because I always know that God did something on the upside. Mm-hmm. And I want you to take me there. What has been along this path? Obviously, you haven't had just a bunch of mountaintop experiences. Take me to a place that was really hard for you or a life lesson, whether personally or in your business, that was just low of lows. And then God brings you out on the other side and does something great.
It's about 2000, summer of 2000. Business was really doing well. And I had just successfully bought and sold my first airplane. I had a Lear 25, and our company had bought a Lear 25, and I did really well on it, and I sold it. And so I was looking for a new airplane. And so I came across this thing called a Citation 3. Beautiful plane, stand-up bathroom in it is what sold me on the deal. And travel 2,600 miles at 45,000 feet and run about Mach 8.80. And so anyways, I had the fever for this plane, John. It was almost a $6 million airplane, and so we bought it. And I didn't even tell my wife. I didn't. This is before I knew Jesus.
You made a $6 million decision without telling your wife, huh?
Yeah, I did. I learned to regret that, John. I know you're shocked. But at any rate, so anyways, 2001, 9/11 hits, right? And so at that time, corporate profits drop dramatically, or the country goes into a tailspin and a recession. And when corporate profits drop, airplane values fall out. The bottom drops just unbelievably, like twice the rate of speed as the corporate profits. So the plane value dropped and nobody was flying. Business was terrible. Make a long story short, I had bought the plane at the wrong time. I bought it from the wrong person. It was a what they called a hangar queen, which means it had a lot of problems. I remember getting one of my maintenance bills in one month and was for $750,000.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's what I said, but in a little bit different way.
Yeah. And so there's some couple choice words on that one.
Yes, I did. And so it was just really a bad purchase, and it was a bad thing, and for a lot of different reasons. Like I said, I didn't know Jesus at the time. I didn't pray for it. I just did it out of arrogance and ego. And I put a lot of money in the plane. And so anyways, the plane was really expensive. It was costing me a lot of money, and I needed to get rid of it, and I couldn't sell it because the economy was bad. So right around, so I had the plane out for sale for about 2 years. And the only saving grace was the interest rate kept dropping on the plane, because which was nice, which that helped us quite a bit. But still, the maintenance was crazy. So I put the plane up for sale, and I had a broker, and no bites for about 4 months. And this plane was really costing me a lot of money, our company a lot of money. It was probably costing us about $200,000 a month on the bottom line. I had some weird ideas about this airplane, having Ahmed take out an RPG at the end of the runway with this thing a few times. I mean, it was getting desperate. So out of the blue, finally, the broker called me. This is 2004, and said, hey, McIntyre, we've got a buyer. They want to offer you, I think it was $3.1 million. It said, listen, we've paid this thing down, but I owe $3.5 million. I got to have $3.5 million. So, well, let me call you back. Called back a week later. Said, okay, they want to come out and test fly it and blah, blah, blah. So they did that and called me back another week later and finally said, okay, we're close. We're at 3.3. I said, listen, man, I got to have $3.5 million. That's what I owe on the plane to get out of this plane. So, and again, I wasn't following Christ or anything. He said, look, we're going to sell this plane. They're going to buy this plane. Let me tell you who's wanting to buy this plane. And he called me back. He said, I'm going to call you back in an hour, but you got to sign a non-disclosure agreement before this deal's done, which means I can't discuss this with the press or anything. I'm like, who is wanting to buy this airplane? Because I was ready to give it away. So I get an NDA, came in. I signed the non-disclosure agreement. He calls me up, said, okay, they agreed to the $3.5 million. I said, great. So who wants to buy this plane? He said, Jerry Falwell at Liberty University. I said, well, that's a great thing. God, I wasn't following God. I didn't care about God, but God was following me and caring about me. They wired $3.5 million that following week, and they got them an airplane. Of course, Jerry Falwell died 3 years later, not resulting from the airplane. That was a really hard, hard time. And as I look back at that, John, I look back that God was always constantly taking care of me, even when I was not believing in him.
So you lost with maintenance and upkeep. And, oh. I mean, you lost probably over $5 million.
Yeah. So what happens is the good thing about an airplane, a company-owned airplane, is that April 15th, you get to write that thing down dramatically. So we had written that thing down really good. I wrote it all the way down to $1.2 million on my taxes. So that was good. But what I didn't know, and I learned later, that there's a thing called phantom tax. And a phantom tax comes back. That means I sold it for $3.5 million. I wrote it down to $1.2
million. Pay the difference.
I got to pay the difference. So I get it. April 15th comes around, and I get this, boo. $750,000 due for income tax. So it was a it was a nice lesson in ego, and I made a huge mistake in that all the way around. Cost our company a lot of money, cost me a lot of anguish, and the funny thing is, John, it took me a long time. I did not ever forgive myself until I came to Christ for making that ego decision.
Yeah, well, we all make it. Some are just more expensive than others.
Yes, I understand. It's all relative. I get it.
The good thing is I'm just going to learn from your lesson and make sure I don't do that. If I get in that situation, I'll just call you and say, Michael, what do I need to do here?
Yeah, we're going to charter planes, John. We'll rent them for the weekend.
So I love your idea. All right, so let's jump in. Next question. When did you realize... Obviously, you talked a little bit about getting into insurance, why you did it. Things, I'm guessing you kind of had a swap in your mind, obviously, after you came to Christ as far as purpose, what you're called to do. Take me there. So when you get saved, you've gotten radical, you're on fire, you're excited. Where's that shift at as far as business-wise and what you're doing now?
Thank you for that question. What happened was, it was around 2007, 2008, as you remember, the economy was in a tailspin. The bubble finally burst with the housing market, and everything was on a downslide. And by grace of God, really, truly, I got to sell my company. I got to get out of it. And I was done with the insurance business for many reasons. The regulatory issues were just daunting. FINRA was coming into play. The regulatory issues were just getting very, very difficult to keep doing business. And by the grace of God, I got out at the right time for me. And I think some people stayed too long. I'll be honest with you. I really do. And so when I got out, it was like really a big nice. It really was. Not only the money was nice, but it was also nice not to have that pressure and that constant trying to figure things out and to the striving. And coming to Jesus at that time was really kind of cool because it was a way I could look at things without having to have, I didn't have to have that company as my identity any longer. Because I think for a long time, I used my insurance company as my identity. And that's where I received what I perceived as love. Because I had this big hole that I couldn't understand why it wouldn't get filled. I'd put money in the hole. I'd put an airplane in the hole. I'd put all kinds of stuff in the hole, but it would never fill. It'd only be temporarily filled for 90 days or 2 months until something happened. And then, so when I came to Jesus and the Holy Spirit filled that hole and I drank from his cup, I was never thirsty again. And so I could easily walk away from the insurance business gladly. And it was just a nice break. And I think it was perfect timing because the economy was collapsing. And if I waited another year, even another 6 months, I probably wouldn't have gotten what I've gotten as far as price point on the business. So it was really a good time for me to move. Now, after I did sell the business, after I did wind down, it was a difficult period as far as running at 120 miles an hour, then coming to a screeching halt. That was interesting.
I bet.
Yeah, that took a few weeks to get used to. But it was really kind of good. And I think I don't regret it a bit. I really don't. I don't want to go back in the insurance business. I've had a lot of people call me back and want to look at it. I've done some consulting in it, which is fine. It's just I moved on to what's next. I really have. And the insurance business was really good, made a lot of money, helped a lot of people, made a lot of millionaires in that business. It was time for me to move on. And so I think the timing with me coming to Christ and knowing my identity was not in that business, but it was in Him, and Jesus is my identity, that helped me a lot.
Awesome. So within that, what do you feel like is your biggest strength with what you do? You talk about you're a salesman, but what do you feel like your biggest strength in life is?
Probably being transparent, being real, asking the tough questions, asking the questions people think about, are afraid to ask.
Okay. Within that, what I've noticed, if you always operate within your strength constantly, it can be a weakness. It's kind of an overabundance of strength. What would you say your weakness has been?
Probably wanting to be liked, the fear of man, and I've gotten through that a lot. About the second year coming to Christ, I learned that because I didn't know that if you deny me in front of your peers, I'll deny you in front of the Father. When I learned that, that was a game changer for me, John, and I said, you know what, I've got to get past this fear of man. I got to get past that, and because I would do a lot of speaking and motivational deals, and I'd always, out of 400 people out in the audience, there's one guy with his arms crossed giving me that cynical look that I'd work my butt off for an hour trying to win him over. And so I realized that I didn't have to, and that was a refreshing thing. And I've really gotten to overcome that. So probably the biggest thing was fear of man, but then through Christ, I've really overcome that. Now, that doesn't mean it doesn't creep back in sometimes. No, it does. And so people say, why are you walking around saying Jesus or Yeshua? I said, well, I've got Christian Tourette's. The Bible says the enemy trembles at his name. So anytime I get attacked by Satan, I just start saying, Jesus the Christ, my Lord and Savior, Yeshua, my Savior. And I don't care where I'm at. I don't care who hears it. I just want to know that God hears it and the enemy gets to hear it.
That's so funny you say, you talk about pleasing man. I don't think so much that I have that, but what I recognized was you talk about just that one person in the crowd. So you're speaking 400 people that you focus on that. And it's funny you said that. I was doing a live Facebook feed the other day, and there's maybe only 20 people on there. I'm getting great feedback. And the headline on my, like you do your Periscope things, which are great, and I follow, my headline said 60-day sex challenge, live a life on fire. And it was because of an interview that I gave with One Extraordinary Marriage, and we're talking about it. And man, I tell you what, I had, out of all those people, I had one person that was like, and you're unfriended. And I was like, and I told my wife, and she's like, honey, did you notice like it's all guys that are on there that are following you? There's a couple women, but, and she's like, you need to make a point to let everyone thinks you're doing porn. And I'm thinking, oh, duh. You know, it was one of those highlight moments. So then I had to go back in the comments and say, and just to be clear, this is clean.
That's awesome. And, that's awesome.
But it's funny you said that because getting all this great feedback, but was that one person that said something that bothered me. And I'm just like, you got to get past that sometimes because like you're talking about, you got 399 other people in front of you that are just eating up everything that you got to say.
That's exactly right.
Sometimes
that's good.
You just got to move past it. Okay, so what is the biggest thing that God is stirring inside of you right now? What are you doing?
Wow. Yeah, thank you for asking that. It's funny, in just the last 3 months, really kind of changed up our whole model on 24/7 med plan. And I went out to Morningstar and I gave a speech out there with Lance, and which is great to run with him. It's like running with a movie star, celebrity, major politician. And it was a lot of fun. And I got to meet amazing people. George Vanoff was out there, and which was really a cool guy. And I gave a speech out there and I got some great feedback, as you do. And this guy sent me an email and said, man, I loved your speech and it was really good, Michael. He said, hey, I looked at your website and I really like this 24/7 med plan. How much does it cost to buy in? And I thought, what do you mean buy in? And then I get another email from a lady who said, boy, I really enjoyed that. It touched my heart greatly. And I really want to see about your 24/7 med plan, but I've spent thousands of dollars on wonderful companies and never made any money. And so it struck me that there's a huge the multi-level marketing and network marketing is huge in the Christian community, which I guess I'm just an ignorant person. I didn't know that. But I know that Amway, I did some research, Amway and Advocare, and some really great companies are out there, and they're steeped in the Christian community. But I know there's also a lot of people that are struggling that don't have that second income that they need. They might be making 40, 50, 60,000 a year and just need another 10,000 or 20,000, maybe to put their son or daughter through college or pay for a wedding or, you know, go on a mission trip or what have you. And so God laid it on my heart and said, hey, that night I went to bed next morning and woke up and God said, listen, you own this company, Lock, Stock, and Barrel. You can do what you want. You don't have to charge people money. And so I didn't. So I did a broadcast and started getting people on board. And it's kind of exciting, man. I had no idea people would come on and do this. And so they are. And we provided leads for them, kind of created a blue ocean mousetrap, if you will. And I'm really excited. I think, I don't know how big it's supposed to be. I don't. I'm looking at different things. But I know that we've got a lot of people making money now. I'm sending out checks every week. Residual income coming in. And the great thing is, John, nobody has to buy in. There's no auto ship. There's not a, you got to give me $500. It's none of that. All you got to do is work. And we provide all that.
Michael, this show's about you, and I want to highlight you. So why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about that? I mean, I want to help you and your business and what you're doing. So why don't you tell us what that looks like in case the listener's curious?
Yeah, sure. So 24/7 MedPlan is a telemedicine company, and we just had a great article come out in the Wall Street Journal last week about it. And it's a way for people to be able to call and talk to a doctor anytime, anywhere on the planet and have their situation handled. Even a prescription gets called in. And we bundled a bunch of these products together. We've got dental, we've got legal services, we've got identity theft. And we put all this into a nice package for $60 a month. And we sell this out here to the public. So you can sell it to your strangers and stuff. You don't have to sell it to your family. And you can take these calls in. We pay you 30% commission. And it's every month that they pay, you get a 30% commission. So it's a great way to build up residuals, $8,000 to $10,000, $50,000 a year, depending on how much you want to work. And it doesn't cost you anything, which is kind of cool. That's basically what we're doing in a nutshell.
And you guys got training on that. You help people with that.
Yeah, we've got a complete webinar training. We have a great onboarding, on-ramping program. You do have to have a little bit of a personality. I joke to people, if you don't have a personality, go rent one, okay? You know, nobody wants, when they call in, these leads come in and these people want to buy our product, and nobody wants to talk to the undertaker or the mortuary, right?
Yeah.
So you've got to have a little bit of a personality. But we have a script for you, and you can work from your home, anywhere you have a good Ethernet connection, and it's really kind of cool.
Dude, I'm writing that down. That is so funny. You said personality one.
Right.
I'm dying on that one. Okay, so Michael, we're all called to share the gospel. It looks so different in ways. Not all of us are called to stand on a corner, hold up a sign, and we're not all called to be behind a pulpit. And that obviously has a lot to do with our different gifts and talents. What does that look like for you, sharing the gospel with people?
Yeah, great question. I think mine is to share my story of how it took so long for me and how God chased me all my life. And I think that really, and there's a whole testimony behind that, which I'm going to write another book on that. But I think one of the things that is just living, walking it out, walking the walk. I have a saying in business, you know, talkers talk and doers do. And I'm a doer. I just do things. And so if somebody wants to hear about Jesus, I love to tell them about Jesus. What I did learn, John, is it's not my job to get them saved. Okay, that's God handpicks those people. I think it's Ephesians 2:22, for no man can boast. Your faith is a gift. And when God handpicks you, but I can be the Ananias. I can be the guy that God says, hey, McIntyre, go over there and share the gospel with this guy. Tell him how great God is. It doesn't matter what he did last night. It doesn't matter what he did this morning. What matters is that he knows the Savior, that my son came down here and died for his sins. And all he has to do is accept my son as his Lord and Savior. And he's got his ticket. And kind of share where I was at. And so there's people out there in my community who have done really well that never have heard the gospel really, truly, except think that everybody's after their money or whatnot. And I get to come into that space and I'm accepted into that space and I get to share that. And one of the things I like to share to them, C.S. Lewis's famous quote, is that, look, when I talk to these guys, I said, you're a business guy. So either Jesus is Lord, he's a liar, or he's a lunatic, right? So that's 33%. So Bill, if you close your eyes, you drop dead, your last thing, are you willing to gamble 33%? That you'll never see your family again, have all your children make it to heaven? Are you willing to make that gamble? Are you willing to hedge that bet?
Yeah, absolutely not.
Yeah, right. So kind of put it into perspective. So I think God's put me here and done this. And my way to evangelize is to just be outspoken and to be real and transparent about everything, especially with guys. And my wife and I, we do a lot of counseling with marriage and about the unrealistic expectations that some of us have as married couples.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so what is a daily habit that really contributes to you walking solid?
My wife and I pray together every day. And we pray out loud, and I believe that God brought us together in holy matrimony, and that means we are one in Him, and He wants us to pray together. He wants us to be a team together and pray out loud together. And I think that's important. It helps out a lot in our marriage, in our family, and in everything. And I think praying out loud, and sometimes pray out loud by myself, but my wife and I, we get together and we pray a lot, and we pray out loud. I think that's the way, because God knows what we're thinking. He knows every thought we have. He wants us to humble ourselves, and I believe that keeps me in lockstep with Jesus.
Love it. What is a recent book? You did share The Blessed Life with us with Robert Morris,
yeah,
which I read years ago. Fantastic. Is there another book that you've read recently that you would like to share with us?
Yes. The book is called Love Does, D-O-E-S, Love Does by Bob Goff. Great book.
Okay, what's that about?
About this wonderful attorney who loves Jesus, and he's very eccentric in his way, in his approach with life, and how he loves on people.
Okay, I like that. What is a resource that you use maybe every day that you could share with us, with our listeners?
Well, that's good. I'm going to have to give credit to my wife, Stacy, because she's the resource queen.
Nice.
I'm kind of moving at a different speed. She's kind of scouring the internet all the time for really cool stuff. So you've probably heard of Graham Cook.
Yes. Great.
Okay. So there's a website called brilliantperspectives.com. And it's got wonderful things that Graham Cook publishes on there. So I would check that out, brilliantperspect.com.
I bet Graham's going to love you for that. We'll be sure to send him a bill for $100. I heard a guy went the other day. He was listening, naming off all these people, just blessing him with resources. And every time he'd say it, he'd say, and that's $100. He was going to send him a bill for $100. So I thought it was hilarious. All right, big question for you, Michael. You get a chance to go back to see the younger you. And what age would you go back to? What would you tell yourself at that younger age to propel you further into what God's called you to?
Yeah, I'd probably go back to age 30. I think things really started happening for me at 30 years old. And I would say, check your ego, humble yourself, and find Jesus quickly.
Oh, man, that's a great answer. So I can't argue with that. All right, so Michael, before we jump into parting thoughts, I just want to give a quick spot for our sponsor.
When your schedule is as busy as mine, seeing a doctor can be very difficult. But what if there was a service that can connect you to a U.S. board-certified physician anytime, anywhere? And what if I told you that it's as close and as easy as your telephone? 24/7 MedPlan is an amazing solution that provides telephone access 24/7 between patients and doctors. With medical costs rising and wait times at ERs and clinics getting longer, 24/7 MedPlan allows doctor consults that are on your schedule. What if it's 11 p.m. Saturday night and your child has a fever? Do you go to the ER, endure a three-hour wait, and hundreds or even thousands of dollars in cost? Instead, you can talk live to a medical doctor right then in the comfort of your home, which may avoid a costly visit to the ER. That's peace of mind. Go to 24/7 MedPlan now and register to save time and money and get peace of mind. No deductibles, no contracts, all pre-existing conditions are covered. Offer just $29.95 per month for your whole family at 24/7 MedPlan. So go now to Are You Real and click on the banner 247medplan.com and get peace of mind now.
Okay, so Michael, let's jump back into parting thoughts. Seriously, cannot even tell you thank you how much for just the value that you've added to us about your life, about your story with Jesus, what he's done for you, successes and things like that. What would be a piece of parting advice that you would like to leave our listeners?
Wow, that's great. There's so much. I'd have to say find your passion. Passion's a product of the heart. Passion is what really helps us have a great dream. Passion breeds conviction and turns mediocrity into excellence. Many people can motivate individuals and can motivate them to join you in pursuit of your dream. And with passion, you will overcome insurmountable obstacles and you will become unstoppable in his kingdom.
Ooh, man, that's powerful. I'm all about that, man. You're speaking my language, dude. Find the passion and run with it, man.
That's right. That's right.
Okay, so how do we contact you? You talk about you do speaking, you do different things. How do our listeners find you?
They can just go to my email. They can email me at MPM, which is Michael Paul McIntyre, MPM at 247medplan.com, MEDPLAN.com. Or go to our website, 247medplan.com, and there's all kinds of different ways on there, but you can find me there too.
Hey, I don't even know if you had a chance to check it, but you are on my front page. So we got the 24/7 med plan on my front page of areyoureal.org.
Yeah, so, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. All right. So listeners, you can find resources, everything today that Michael and I have talked about. Check it out on areyoureal.org. You can spell that any way you'd like with an R, a U, real.org, or spell it out, Are You Real? You can see Michael, everything he's talked about. We'll have his show notes, links, everything. Guys, thank you so much for tuning this week. Please get on iTunes, share the kingdom, get our word out, get our message out, share it with your friends, and please rate and review us. We're trying to get the message out and get on top of iTunes, so I need your help. Have a great day, be blessed, and remember, be real, be authentic, and be you. Thanks for tuning in.
That's all for this episode of Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You. Be sure to go to areyoureal.org for your free questionnaire to identify your gifts and talents and how you can use them to help people become leaders and catapult them into their destiny to help others become the leaders of tomorrow. We appreciate you spending your time with us and look forward to helping you reach out and revolutionize next time on Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You.